Born in the grip of oppression, I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. But when I'm attacked, I protect and defend. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free.
Welcome everyone, and hope you have a great day and great week. Someone sent me the cutest satire, and I want to share it with you because I really hate just talking all about the news, which is horrible. So it's time to start the day with a little chuckle. And since I was canceled already, they can't do much more to me for saying this. But this is from a listener in Florida. And he said, a Florida court sets the atheist holy day. In Florida, an atheist created a case against Easter and Passover holy days. He hired an attorney to bring a discrimination case against Christian and Jews and their observance of their holy days. The argument was that it was such unfair that atheists had no recognized days. The case was brought before a judge. After listening to the passionate presentation by the lawyer, the judge banged his gavel and said, "Case dismissed." The lawyer immediately stood up and started objecting to the ruling, saying, "Your Honor, how can you possibly dismiss this case? The Christians have Christmas and Easter and others. The Jews have Passover, Yom Kippur, and Hanukkah. And yet my client and all other atheists have no such holidays." The judge leaned forward in his chair and said, "But you do. You, your client, counselor, is woefully ignorant." The lawyer said, "Your Honor, we are unaware of any special holiday for atheists to observe." And the judge said, "Well, my calendar says April 1st is April Fool's Day. And Psalm 14:1 states, the fool that says in his heart that there is no God is a fool. And thus it is the opinion of this court that your client says there is no God and he is a fool. And therefore, April 1st is his day. Court adjourned." Gotta love that judge. You're listening to Karen Schoen, and this is the Prism of America's Education. Folks, we have an invasion going on at our border. And I am not going to call it anything other than an invasion, because that is exactly what it is. And anytime 100,000 people come storming into America, that's bigger than many of the rural counties. And I don't know what else you could call it other than an invasion. Our Constitution says that our federal government has really one important goal and one important charge in their powers. That is to protect Americans from invaders, both foreign and domestic. And yet, what are they doing? They are closing their eyes and allowing these people to infiltrate and to invade our country. What are you going to do in your county if you do not pay attention? What happens if busloads of people don't come into your county? Have you spoken to your county commissioners? What are they going to do? Well, my recommendation would be to put them on a bus and bring them over to Nancy Pelosi's house. Or better yet, bring them all to Washington. They want them. Make no mistake, this is about getting votes, future votes. And the left, the communist Democrats, they do not care about you at all. They don't care about us. They don't care about America. The only thing they care about is votes and staying in power. Well, I have asked Claire Lopez to join me today because, other than being brilliant, Claire has done a tremendous amount of research as to what is going on and what is really going on at the border. Instead of watching TV and hearing people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez saying, we can't call this a crisis, we can't call this an invasion, these are little children. No, they are not. Claire, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
And thank you, Karen, for having me. I'm glad to be back on with you.
It is always a pleasure. Can you share some of the information that you have seen? Are these all little children coming into America that we all have to feel so bad about? Because honestly, their parents have let them go. What kind of parents does that to children? That one is the one I can't understand.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you there. No, these are not in the majority little children. In fact, the majority of those who are coming into the country under the age, well, they say they're under 18, who knows what they really are teens, they're upper teens. And who knows, you know, what connections they have. A lot of them are young men. You know, are they connected to MS-13, to other gangs? How do we know? We have no way of knowing. Some, yes, are coming across as part of a quote unquote, air quotes here, family unit. But we know from border protection agents and others, Tom Homan has spoken out often, the former director of ICE, in interviews. So has Chad Wolf, who was the former secretary of Department of Homeland Security. And I mean, what they're saying is that children are actually being rented. I mean, if you can imagine the horror of this.
Oh my God, that's horrible.
Children, every single person who comes across our southern border does so with the permission of, the involvement of, and payment to cartels, drug cartels. That's who is managing the flow across our southern border. Nobody gets across that border the illegal way without payment to one of the drug cartels, be it Sinaloa, be it Zetas, be it Gulf Cartel, or any of the others. And what they're doing is using children as props to get a so-called family unit appearance to get them across the border, because our current administration has let it be known that if you are either a so-called unaccompanied child, UAC, or a child within a so-called family unit, you'll be let in. You'll not only be let in, you'll be fed, you'll be clothed, you'll be housed, you'll be given health care, you'll be put on a bus and sent somewhere in the United States to some town or city near you, which doesn't even know you're coming, doesn't know how many are coming, doesn't know from where they are coming, and has no means of taking care of them. This is what the Biden administration is doing. But the worst horror is what you said last there, Karen, and that is about the buying, the selling, and the renting of these kids, whether they're little or older. They're being used, they're being rented. They are sent across the border with a so-called mother and or father. And once they get the adults across, then the kids go back and they get sold to somebody else. They're being abused. They're being physically abused, sexually abused. The women are being raped, girls and women, 80% chance of being raped on the way from wherever they came from. Very often Central America. We talk of the Northern Triangle, right, which is El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras. Very many come from that area, but it's horrific. It is the worst human rights abuses you can possibly imagine, and it's our own leadership that is allowing this, encouraging this, accepting this. They are hand in glove with the Mexican drug cartels.
So what we are being led to believe is that these children are coming to America and we are taking care of them. Of course, before we send them out into the local communities, they're being tested, they're being treated, they're being clothed, they're being given all of these wonderful things so that when they come to your doorstep, somebody is taking care of them. That's what we're being told. Is that true?
Well, I mean, certainly at the border, when they're allowed in, if they need food, water, which they do, and in these holding facilities where they're kept, you know, for days upon days upon days upon end, you'll have seen on TV and the videos of the situation there, just packed body to body to body, wrapped up like a bunch of Costco hot dogs in foil wrap on the floor. And even as we saw James O'Keefe's Veritas film footage from this past week or so, now they're outside. Even his people, James O'Keefe's people, got footage, video footage of these kids and migrants, illegals outside on the ground in these foil wraps under a bridge somewhere because they've run out of space. They have no more space. Supposed to be given food and water and, you know, but they're not being tested for a virus or tuberculosis or any of the other communicable diseases that these people bring with them before they're being sent on off to other places in America, where sometimes upon arrival, they are tested. And that's where some of the numbers are coming to us, that around 10%, I mean, who knows if that's the real number, but I've heard 10% are testing positive for the CCP virus.
So as we are being told and being called white supremacists and we're racially horrible people, and we have to socially distance and wear masks, otherwise we're going to destroy everything that has been built up and we're going to transmit this horrible disease. These kids, nothing. No masks, no social distancing.
Well, I've seen videos of them wearing masks. So I guess they slap masks on them, but that's about it. I mean, masks are useless. We all know that they do absolutely nothing to prevent, you know, the aerosolized virus particles from spreading in or out. Everybody knows that, but they don't care.
No, they don't. And really, I believe that a mask is just the way for us not to be able to communicate with each other. Because when you're sitting down and having a conversation with someone, you don't want to see half of their face, just their eyes. Their facial expression is so important in any conversation. And we lose that whole idea of reading somebody's face as you are talking to them when they're wearing a mask. And isn't it curious? I just read an article before that once Texas released the mask mandate, the coronavirus plummeted. It didn't go up like everybody was screaming about. Now, I live in Florida. And yes, they will always say Florida has a lot of cases. Well, of course we do. We have a lot of people, but I challenge everybody to do a proportional study to determine when you take the deaths as compared to the population, Florida is certainly not number one.
No, it's not at all. I mean, and Florida certainly has a much higher percentage of an older population than other states. And yet Florida, yes, thank you, Governor Ron DeSantis, is doing way better than New York State or California, for example, because of those policies. I mean, and here's the thing. The CCP virus is a bioengineered biological weapons agent that was developed by the Chinese Communist Party. Now, how it got out, I don't know. On purpose, by accident, I don't know. But once out, viruses have a trajectory of their own. And from what we've seen around the entire world is that it basically makes no difference what humans do. It doesn't matter what humans do. Lockdown, don't lockdown, wear a mask, don't wear a mask. It makes no difference. The virus has its own trajectory. Now, the things that can be done, of course, are developments of drugs, prophylactic and therapeutic drugs like hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, budesonide, maybe remdesivir, I don't know, and treatments, monoclonal antibody treatments and things like that, as well as development of vaccines. Those are the things that human beings can do. But other than that, we have no ability to affect the trajectory of a virus outbreak, be it epidemic or pandemic. And we also do not have any control over which way the mutations are going to go either.
Be wary, folks, because what's going to happen is they're going to say the virus is mutating and they're going to try the lockdowns again. So you've got to be on top of this because this is very important. I also read an article that in some of the third world countries where they knew that they didn't have the money to be able to get vaccines, they began treating their people with things like hydroxychloroquine in the beginning. And guess what? They had fewer cases.
Well, yeah, you look at a place like sub-Saharan Africa, for example, or even India. And in both of those places, in some of the bigger cities, I mean, think of Calcutta or Mumbai or Nairobi or Lagos, Nigeria. You've got very crowded living conditions, large, large populations, and not the very best of healthcare or healthcare systems. And yet, because in those places they have to fight malaria in particular and a version of quinine, which is the base ingredient for hydroxychloroquine, they pop quinine pills like candy. It's perfectly safe. They do it for a lifetime, and they have to because of the prevalence of malaria. They simply cannot be rid of the mosquitoes, which you know, bear the malaria disease. And so even when I was in Africa way back when, you know, we took quinine, and happily I never caught malaria, but it serves as a prophylactic for those populations. And in India, the Prime Minister Narendra Modi also made hydroxychloroquine available because the people are not wealthy in many cases and cannot necessarily even afford that kind of medication, but he made it available to them in India. And they've got way, way, way lower mortality rates from this virus, you know, than places in the West, wealthy Western European countries, America. And why? Because they figured it out and we didn't. Well, actually, I should say we did figure it out. Hydroxychloroquine is really, really inexpensive. And the other different drugs I mentioned are likewise inexpensive. They are effective. They are safe. They've been used for decades upon decades with any kind of population, older population, pregnant women, children. It doesn't matter. They're perfectly safe, but they're cheap. And they can be made in volume very cheaply, purchased very cheaply. And guess what? The great big pharmaceutical companies that want to make gazillions of dollars from vaccine development, well, they wouldn't be able to do that, would they? If we all just took these cheap, effective, safe drugs for a virus disease, which, by the way, has a better than 99% chance of recovery for most populations. And even the most vulnerable, older, or say with comorbidities, heart disease, diabetes, obesity, what have you, it's still well over 90%, 95% recovery rate. So we don't even need a vaccine. Don't even need it. But no, you know, there we are. Yes, makes money for a lot of people.
I was just going to say this again is all about money, power, and control. Nothing changes. They will use any avenue to be able to promote money, power, control. And they are using the border. And of course, their target is Middle America and senior useless eaters, because we no longer contribute to their society, or so they think. And we are drawing on our Social Security. So we must be replaced by new blood who will pay into Social Security and not take it out. And that's only one small piece. Claire, please stay with us. Everyone, please stay with us. You're listening to Karen Schoen. This is the Prism of America's Education. And don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
Now, never before in our history have we witnessed the level of hatred that is now being waged against our law enforcement. While anarchist groups create havoc and overwhelm our first responders, these same groups and their corporate supporters are calling for the police forces to be shrunk and defunded. What can you and I do to make a difference? How can we stand up for what is right and to show our support? That's what I'm going to tell you about this incredible new platform. It's called ShopToTheRight.com. And it's a new shopping platform that will help you find businesses that align with your values. They feature products made in America. They support veteran-owned businesses, as well as our law enforcement community. This is a time when we need to stick together, we need to shop together, and we need to support each other. It's time for you and I to make some noise and stand up to protect our country. And one easy way to do that is to shop and give our money to companies that don't seek to destroy our way of life. So join the fight for liberty. ShopToTheRight.com. Support those American businesses that support law enforcement and veterans.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Karen Schoen. This is the Prism of America's Education and my guest, Claire Lopez. Claire, before we go any further, where can everyone find you?
Well, I am incorporated as Lopez Liberty LLC, but don't yet have a website up. So you can find my radio interviews, videos, webinars, and written pieces at places like the Citizens Commission on National Security, American Truth Project with Barry Nussbaum, Brannon House's Worldview Weekend. I have a blog at newsmax.com. Probably should write more often, but I am there. And then on social media, at Claire M. Lopez on Twitter, Facebook, and Parlay.
Okay, folks, please read what Claire writes. Listen to her videos. They're so important that you understand the background of what's going on. And speaking of background, Claire, do you think that the people that are coming across this border are only from Honduras and El Salvador and Mexico? Or do we have other infiltrators?
The vast majority of them are probably from Central America, yes. In particular, El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras. Many, many, many are from Mexico itself, too. But mixed in are at least some from over 130, I think the number I've heard, over 130 other countries from around the world, you name it. So mixed in are numbers from many other countries in far-flung places across the entire globe.
Do you think we have any Islamic terrorists coming in?
We don't know. I think it's certainly possible, but we don't know. I guess I have to say we don't know. Because the Biden administration lifted the travel ban on certain countries of national security concern, as soon as he came into office, a travel ban that had been put in place by President Trump for seven countries that include, yes, some Islamic hotbeds of Islamic terrorism, like Yemen, like Syria, but also include places like North Korea and Venezuela, because they lifted that ban, those populations can apply for refugee status in normal channels if they want to now, and that wouldn't be an impediment. But are they coming across the southern border? Who knows, right? We have no idea.
Yeah, that is the problem. We really have no idea. Now, here's another thing I wanted to ask you. We have 100,000 people coming over, children, unaccompanied minors, and we hear about chain migration. What is that all about?
So chain migration means that as soon as one person in a family, be it a child or anyone else, gets into the United States and begins what's now a wide open pathway to legal status, first green card, permanent legal resident, and then onwards after a number of years, possibly to citizenship, which, by the way, not a single illegal is entitled to ever, ever, ever. But this is what happens. And once they get their foothold and they get that status, that person then turns around and is eligible to sponsor a request that others from their family come in. And then you've just got an endless chain of one after the other after the other. You've got the brother, the sister, the mom, the dad, the aunt, the uncle, the grandma, the grandpa, and then all of their mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers and aunts and uncles. You see how this goes. It's a game they play. This is what they do.
So the prediction is that over 1 million people will be flooding our borders this year if this is not stopped.
Well, this is illegal.
And this
illegal
is what I'm traffic. Talking. Right. Illegal. So once these people go through and start bringing in their friends and relatives, this could turn out to be something like 5, 6, 7, 8 million people coming in and flooding our borders.
Well, if we don't put a stop to it, yeah, it sure could. But that's the whole point, isn't it? And, you know, this goes across party lines. I'm not going to point the finger at one or another of the political parties in this country, because they're all in on it together. You know, some of them want future what they expect to be loyal voters for that party. Others just want cheap labor, but they're all in on it together. This is the dirty secret that people don't want anyone to know. It's not a political party, one or the other. It's about nefarious objectives across the board.
Yes, and globalists who are in favor of this definitely are in both parties. As you were speaking, I'm thinking about this mass exodus coming from Honduras and Guatemala and El Salvador. What do you think is going to be the result of those countries as millions of people leave those countries? What's left in resources in people to run those countries? Will they all just be run by the cartels now?
I'm looking this up really quickly. I heard an interview not very long ago, and I want to get his name right. He is the president of El Salvador. And he had an interview on, I forget which network it was, but not so long ago, he was being interviewed. And his name is Nayib Armando Bukele Ortiz. That's his name, president of El Salvador. And he made the point exactly that you're making right there, Karen. And that is that there is a kind of a brain drain going on in these countries, that those with the most, I don't know, ambition or incentive or initiative to get ahead, they're the ones leaving. They're the ones leaving. And he made the point, I think he goes by President Bukele, made the point that just as you're saying, it's not just the cartels, the Maras, and, you know, all the thugs who are leaving, a bunch of them are too, but it's also some of the best and the brightest, or at least those, you know, with the most get up and go. And that does leave those countries the poorer. He made that point in the interview, leaves those countries all the poorer in terms of, yes, intellectual resources for those who are left behind. True.
And that then leaves the door wide open for a country like communist China to move right in and take over as the economy of these countries fall apart.
They are making moves. The Chinese Communist Party, the leadership in Beijing, they are making moves across Latin America. And also, I would say, include there the Caribbean to acquire footholds, property, stakes in companies. Yes, that is definitely going on.
This is a very, very sad thing to see happening to these countries who were making strides a couple of years ago and were advancing their population and improving living conditions and understanding the importance of, as you said, not having a brain drain. So not only are these Democrat communists doing a huge disservice, and disservice is a nice word for what they're really doing, destruction of America. But as an unintended consequence, they are also destroying the countries where these people are coming from. And then how does it work if these cartels are making $5,000 and $10,000 a head for the people to come here? These people, if they're poor, they don't have $5,000 or $10,000. How does that work?
You're exactly right, Karen. So what happens is a form of indentured servitude might be a kind way of putting it, slavery, flat out slavery. These people or their families have to put a certain amount down as a down payment to the cartels, to the coyotes for their travel, for their passage north. But then those cartels get their names, places, addresses, names of people where they're going, phone numbers, as well as the complete contact information for their families back home in Central America or wherever it may be. And once those people arrive at wherever it is they're going, they are contacted. They are followed up on, and they have to pay that money back, which means they have to work, they have to find work and pay back the cartel. So we got these people in the country. Now they've maybe find some jobs. Maybe they're working illegally, probably illegally, and they're earning money, which gets sent back to organized crime, to transnational organized crime organizations like the cartels. That's what we've brought into this country. That's what we're doing. Not only the human rights situation of these people, these poor people, many of them very poor, who are working at minimum wage or less to scrape by when they shouldn't even be here in the first place. But then out of that, they have to send money back to fund transnational criminal organizations, which are going to use the money to funnel even more illegals into our country and put more people into that situation of slavery and indentured servitude, or whatever we're going to call it. Human rights abuses. This is what the Biden administration is facilitating.
This is not unbelievable, because there is a history of this coming from the communists. That's what they intend to do. Cloward and Piven, overload the system, and eventually the system will crash. Not only are they bringing in people, but they're also bringing in drugs. I would imagine that these people become mules and pushers and prostitutes. They are forced into sex slavery. So this is a whole black mark on this Biden administration. But looking at it at your local community, what would be a good suggestion for people to do to protect their local community?
Well, I guess the first thing to say is that U.S. borders are a federal matter. It is the federal government that allows immigrants, legal or illegal, into the country, as well as refugee resettlement. And local jurisdictions have absolutely no power and no say-so, no involvement in that, meaning not the governors, not the state legislatures, state legislators, or anybody at the more local level of county or city. City council, mayor, forget it. They don't. If you want to change this, this has to be changed through law at the federal level with Congress. And there have been bills actually proposed in Congress, which unfortunately languished there for years. Scott Perry from Pennsylvania, Representative Scott Perry, has proposed one of these. Representative Brian Babin years ago from Texas proposed a similar one that would permit local jurisdictions, at least at the state level, to have input about who comes, how many, at what pace, and whether the local communities can even manage, in terms of healthcare and education and law enforcement, manage the flow. So the first thing I would say to do would be to encourage folks to contact your local representatives, congressional representatives, senators, to pursue legislation like this that would grant states and local jurisdictions input and even veto power over who comes and how many. The other thing to do would be to get educated on how this whole flow is managed. And I would certainly recommend people take a look at Ann Corcoran's blog sites. One of them is called Refugee Resettlement. The other one is called, what is it, Frauds, Crooks, and Criminals. But look up Ann Corcoran for that information, which she sends out on practically a daily basis, numbers, people, schemes, a lot of good information there. And then maybe one other thing would be that we do have already laws on the books that mandate by law that employers who hire workers must ascertain their legal status through E-Verify or other means. And if they do not, and if the people they hire are illegals, those employers are legally, according to U.S. law, liable for violation of that law at $10,000 per person they've hired against the law if they're illegals. So encourage the enforcement of that kind of check on employers, because if the incentive for coming, if the goodies being offered, and to include work, are not closed off, the attraction of coming will remain. If they know that they can come here illegally and get free everything and get hired, perhaps under the table, they'll keep coming. They have to be, the laws have to be enforced so that they know that if they try to cross that border, they will be criminally liable for breaking our laws. They will not have food or healthcare or education or anything else. Nothing will be provided to them. They will not be allowed to work. Those doors have to be closed to them or they'll keep coming.
That's a state issue, is it not?
Well, as I explained, at some level, it is a state issue.
The E-Verify
of employment laws like that. Yes.
That would be a state.
So that's something, yeah, that
we can do within our state. Yes.
At the local level, yes.
And this is a great question. This should be the first question when you are vetting new candidates who will be running for office. What will you do to rewrite and redo and give, as Claire said, give the states veto power to be able to stop illegal immigration. So that when you are talking to a new person that is running as a candidate, I would make that my first question. Otherwise, we are definitely and will be under an invasion, and it will not stop. The only way that it will stop is when we, the people, stop it. And that's why I always say that America is a participation sport. We must participate in our local and federal and state governments. But it seems as though our target right now should be the state. And then as new people come in to be candidates, vet them. We have a bad habit. We vote for people because they look good, because they sound nice, and we don't ask them the right questions. And if we don't stop doing that, we are going to be subject to what is going on. Claire, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. Please tell everyone again where they can find you.
Thanks so much, Karen, for having me. Again, I'm on social media at Claire M. Lopez, Twitter, Facebook, Parlay, also Telegram, by the way, and my pieces, written pieces, videos, webinars, radio interviews like this at Citizens Commission on National Security. Also, I neglected to mention this one before, very important, The United West, Tom Trento's group, The United West. Also, American Truth Project with Barry Nussbaum, Brannon House's group, Worldview Weekend. And I do have a blog at newsmax.com.
Folks, you have many ways to find Claire. Please do that. It is very important that you remain up on this and make it part of your conversation. Remember, one of the biggest fear of communists is that we talk to each other and we discuss things and we come up with solutions and conclusions, and we act upon those. We have to act if we want to save this country. Don't go away, folks. You're listening to Karen Schoen, and this is the Prism of America's Education.
AmericaOutloud.com. Simply put, we're patriots who believe in Ronald Reagan's vision of a shining city on a hill. From sea to shining sea, you can listen in on iHeartRadio. Our free apps are on Apple, Android, or Alexa, or our world-class media player. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Karen Schoen, and you're listening to the Prism of America's Education. And I just read an article that it seems as though Secretary Mayorkas has decided that plugging the holes in the wall might actually be a good idea. So please let your legislator know that they should put pressure on Mayorkas to make sure that the wall is plugged and all of those holes and gaps that are allowing these criminals, as we just discussed in the last segment, to enter into our country. And I consider anybody who comes here illegally a criminal. Before we go on, I wanted to give a shout out to Malcolm and the team. They have done an amazing job with the new website. It is fantastic. And also, our new time slot will be at 1 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday, and also an encore at 9 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday. And you'll be able to find us, of course, on the AmericaOutloud.com website. Thank you again, Malcolm. Amazing job. As I am mentioning all of the new things that Malcolm has done, I also have a shout out to the Florida Citizens Alliance. They are putting on a conference on the 17th called Celebrating Kids, and I have got two free tickets that you would be able to listen to virtually if you send me an email at kbschoen, S-C-H-O-E-N, at bellsouth.com. oneword.net and just put free tickets in the headline. And Pastor Rick has joined me, and you can tell everyone about this conference.
Yes, we do. And I really want to extend an invitation to everybody to join us. We'd be glad to have you. If you're too far away from Naples to come in person, then the stream is a great option. If you live some distance away, but you still want to come, you want to reach out to us and tell them you heard me mention it on Karen's show. I'll work something out to help you with the registration if you're coming a long ways. And that is, and that's the thing that makes the difference in your attendance. But you will enjoy coming. We have Rebecca Friedrichs flying in from California. She's a former teacher, loves children, understands the challenges of education today. We have Alex Newman, who will be there to speak. And Alex is well-known around Florida. Some of you may have heard of him. We have a Hope Scholarship mother. Some of you may recognize that for all of the people in Florida, we keep mentioning the Hope Scholarship and its benefits and how it could be the answer to your child's struggle in school and how it could help you move them to the private school of your choice. Well, we have a mother who's going to tell us about her experience. When you hear from somebody who's been there and done that, it often gives you a different picture of things. When it's your child and you see for yourself the benefits of that scholarship and how it helps your child find a learning environment that is well-suited for them and in which they thrive, that's a very big deal. So we're really looking forward to hearing from her. We have a former school board member that will be talking about her innovative ideas and the things that she's actually doing. And one of the ideas she's working on will be available to every student in Florida. It's just remarkable. If you have any interest and an opportunity, I really want to invite you to come and join and be a part of that. There's some other things that I'm not taking time to mention. And you can contact us through our Florida Citizens Alliance website. There's an info address, email address you can find there. You mentioned that you heard about this from me on Karen's show, and it'll get to me.
Now is a great time. If you are not in Florida, you can get to see this virtually, and that's what the two free tickets are about. Also, have a party in your house and invite your friends because they would get to view it also. Take the information that you have, take the information that the Alliance is providing and apply it to your state. There is no reason we want everybody to copy everything we're doing. We want to share information. We want to know what's going on in different states. That's the way we learn. That's the way we grow. And that's the way we come together as Americans. So again, send your free ticket request to Karen B. Barbara Schoen, S-C-H-O-E-N, at bellsouth.net. And Bell South is one word, and put in the subject line, thank you, and thank the Florida Citizens Alliance for putting this on. Pastor, we had a bill that was up in the Florida House, and it is called a 545, and it is very interesting, and I wanted to go over that information with you because it has flipped around from parents being able to opt in to parents being able to opt out. And I want to make sure that our audience understands the difference between opting in and opting out when something is presented to them by their own legislature. So can you explain the bill and what the differences are?
Sure. And the opt-in, opt-out is really a crucial part of this initiative right now in Florida. This bill started out as a bill that we at the Florida Citizens Alliance wrote, and it has some excellent provisions to protect our children from the pornographic materials that are available through the schools. Once a bill gets into the legislative process, anything can happen and sometimes does. Well, the bill that's currently being considered in Florida doesn't resemble what we started out with, but it does have a couple of good provisions that could be helpful, provided that they continue the idea that we advanced, requiring parents to opt in other words, to sign their children up for these classes. So the bill, as it's being considered, has a transparency component where the school board needs to approve this curriculum every year, post it on a website, make sure parents know about it so they can be well informed in terms of what their child will be exposed to. Real challenge of all of that is that we think the parents need to be the ones that are put in charge of this, and it's consistent with our understanding of parents' responsibility to their children, that they be allowed to opt their child into this coursework, not be required to opt out. when an opt-out provision is in place, it puts all of the pressure on the parents and puts parents really on the defense to figure out what they should keep their child away from. And it puts all the power for choosing the materials in the hands of the school board. And they can pretty much say, here's what it is, take it or leave it. And if the parents happen to miss that opportunity, then their child could end up being involved in something that they don't appreciate without them realizing because they missed the opt-out opportunity. We advocate very strongly and are doing that very forcefully in the legislature that we think parents need the opt-in opportunity. If this coursework is so good, so beneficial, so valuable to our students and to their families, then we don't think it's too complicated for the school to be able to make that case to parents and say, we want to give this opportunity to you and to your child. Will you opt into the class? Well, what this does is it requires the school board then to have a course that is attractive and acceptable, that doesn't violate a family's deeply held convictions. Now, why is all of this important? Because of the coursework itself. This material has to do with sexual conduct, all that's related to that, disease, other kinds of things. And some of the things that the children are exposed to now would shock the consciences of almost everybody that's listening. And so we think that putting the power in the hands of the parents to opt in would require the school districts to take a very serious look at what they're teaching, make sure it really is valuable to the parents and their students, and present it to them with an encouragement for them to opt in. If the parents don't opt in, they don't have to, but their child is automatically protected from those kinds of things. The parents are not put on defense with certainty what they have signed their child up for. You know, it's really no different than signing your child up for a soccer team, only it's much more consequential. Parents sign their children up for all kinds of things, gymnastics, baseball teams. We think that's the same idea that ought to be used in schools so that the parents are in the driver's seat of all of this and are not put on defense, having to protect their child from something they find offensive or harmful to their child.
It is the parents' responsibility. You, as your parent, as a parent, have made the determination that you want to have children. And it is your responsibility to raise them and to make sure that they understand the values that you as the parents want them to have. It's not the school's responsibility. It's your responsibility. And by opting in, you are taking that charge. You are taking that responsibility. Remember, communists do not believe that the parents are responsible. They believe that the state is responsible, i.e. the government is responsible. And it's the same kind of thing that's going on with the passports, the vaccine passports. They are nothing more than a ploy to make the state responsible for your health. You have no choice. If you are forced into getting a passport to travel, how is that any different than what went on in Nazi Germany? It isn't. The Nazis convinced the German people that the Jews were disease carriers and therefore should be corralled and put in a separate place. And I remember, you can look at any of the movies that are depicting World War II, and what is the first thing they say? Where are your papers? Well, this is exactly the same thing. And this is nothing new. This was planned well before COVID. If you remember, we had John Holdren, who was the science czar, who believed that a vaccine should be made available to stop people from reproducing if he felt that they were not qualified to reproduce. He has no right to do that. The government has no right to do that. Vaccines are a moneymaker, and they are nothing more than pure, here we will make money. And we have to be aware of that. We have to understand the ulterior motives of these people. They are very, very sinister. They do not have your best interest at heart. Believe me, the only thing that they see are dollar signs, and they see them over and over again. And speaking of dollar signs, even though I am not in real favor of boycotts, I think it's time that we start doing that. It's time that we stop this cancel culture. It's time that we stop allowing corporations to dictate things like our voting privilege. What right do they have to dictate how a different state should vote? This is going on right now, as they are continuing to do that. I know there's a list of 200 corporations that are involved in voting. They don't have a right to vote. They are individuals, just like we are. Their companies are made up of people. And believe me, when you go to something that's corporate, you have to show an ID. 75%, according to the latest Rasmussen poll, people must show an ID to be able to vote. And as we have this influx of illegals coming into the country, what right do they have to determine how we American people should be voting? What do you think about voting, Pastor Rick?
Well, I think voting ought to be available to the citizens that are qualified to vote. And I think it's reasonable for us to demonstrate we are who we are. To get on an airplane, you have to have an ID that says, this is who I am. To go to a baseball game and pick up tickets that you've ordered in advance, you have to have an ID. Having an ID is not an unusual thing. It simply verifies I am who I say I am. I think it's still true that you have to show an ID to pick up a prescription from a drugstore. Why shouldn't we have an ID available when we vote? We've done that in Florida for a long time. I've never found it to be a difficulty. It's pretty routine. I've never heard anybody say we couldn't vote because of it. We just do it. I don't think that that's the issue. I think there are other issues going on. And I think people are just using that to demagogue election reform because we want our elections to be safe, fair, and we want to know that they are. And that's all that these laws are doing. And I think we should support them. And all these companies that want to virtue signal that they're so much superior to the rest of us, we just need to walk away and forget them. And yes, I agree with you. Boycotts are reprehensible. They always hurt the people that don't make the decisions because they hurt the workers. But at the same time, we have to do something. And it's hard to boycott every company. I get that. So I heard a great strategy the other day. Just choose one or two and just walk away from them and let them know this is why. If all of us did that, then we begin to send a message and help those companies realize they need to get out of the nonsense of what they've been doing.
Yes, I cut up my Home Depot card and I sent it back to the corporate office. And I told them that when they stop supporting political issues, I will go back and buy from Home Depot, right? I also did the same thing with Coca-Cola for the same reason. So, Pastor, you are right. You don't have to choose every single company. It's almost impossible to do that. But if enough of us got together as Americans, this is how we vote. This is how we show our opinion. We don't just vote on the first Tuesday in November. We can vote with our wallets just as much as we can vote when we go to the voting booth. Believe me, nothing will make more of an impression than holding back money, because that is the one thing that these corporations are all about. Profit, profit, profit. And where does the profit come from? It comes from we, the people, when we buy something of theirs. So if we stop the purchasing, they will feel the impact. And I also believe that they are demeaning the minorities by even thinking that they wouldn't have an ID. How dare they? And don't you need an ID to go and get a vaccine? You're absolutely right, Pastor Rick. If they are making vaccines mandatory or demanding that you have a vaccine passport, in order to get that passport, you had to show your ID. So how can you show an ID for one thing and then not be allowed to show it for something else? It has nothing to do about the ID. It has to do with the fact that without an ID, the election can be fraudulent. And as we see more and more of the states putting a stumbling block as they are trying to audit the vote, especially in Maricopa County, they are trying to stop the audit. They're making it impossible. Well, if nothing was wrong, don't you think that they would say, come on, audit. We want you to audit because we know we did nothing wrong. Isn't that the way it works, Pastor?
Well, we believe in transparency. And if you got nothing to hide, you've got nothing to hide. And I think we ought to realize that. You know, when you talk about the boycotts, I thought of one other thing. But, you know, it feels really good to be able to do something and to exert your ability to protest. And if a boycott is all we can do, and sometimes it is, it just feels good to say no. Take heart and feel good and say no. You can live without some of these things and probably be just as well off or better without them.
You're absolutely right. Pastor, would you like to close out the show with a prayer? Because right now, America needs a good prayer.
Well, absolutely. And I also want to invite everybody to join me on my new show on America Out Loud called Faith Is with Pastor Rick Stevens. It's going to air at 3 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday. I'd be glad for you to join me. Really hope it's a helpful program for you. If you miss the program times, it's also going to be available on podcast. A shameless plug. How about that?
I think that's wonderful. And congratulations and lots of luck.
Well, let me pray and send us off with the blessings of the Lord. Father, I thank you for your kindness to us, for your care for us, and for the courage you give birth within us. Make us the kind of people that stand up for that which is right and push back against that which is wrong, that we might be a part of the people of God that brings your kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. Bless us one and all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you all for listening. Do not forget, if you are interested in a free virtual ticket to see the Celebrating Kids and Country put on by the Florida Citizens Alliance, please contact me at kbshone@bellsouth.net. There are two tickets available, and it is my pleasure to be able to give them away. And we will see you again next week. This is Karen Schoen. You've been listening to The Prism of America's Education with Pastor Rick. Have a wonderful week. But I'll